Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. I'm Shailaja Fennell, and I am the co-lead on FB6 on the Tigris program. I'll be speaking today about a particular feature of FB6 that I've been leading, and that's looking at how local knowledge and farmhold preferences can affect and also assist in the way that we think and work towards sustainable agricultural systems. As with all projects or flagship projects on this program, there are a large number of players who've been involved. And so on the first slide, you saw a number of our partners, Punjab University Chandigarh, ICRISAT, IIT Bombay, and NCDS in Bhubaneswar. For FB6, which has two strands, one on education and empowerment, and the other, which is on employment and empowerment, overlay that linked the two was the theme on nutrition. And I'm going to talk particularly about the supply chain and the employment aspects that crossed over these two themes with the nutrition bridge. On this FB6 to B, we were looking at consumption and production, and nutrition forms, as I said, an important bridge between the two, because by understanding nutrition knowledge through food plates, which our colleague Professor Shimon Ray, who ran the Mobile Kitchens Program, Teaching Kitchens Program, undertook, it became clear that identifying what people ate and how they cooked, which Professor Nitya Rao on FB6A was also looking at through her postdocs, became a crucial way to understand and locate knowledge in the community. In particular, what came out of it, which was unexpected, which I'll speak about in the next slide, was the importance of lesser known grains like millets. What cooking practices taught us was that there were both opportunities in learning about foods that we had not taken on board because they had previously been regarded as less important in the Green Revolution, but also to identify shortcomings in nutrition. And I'll be speaking about both of these later. From the production side, which is core, and often there's a debate about whether there is enough food to feed the world. And the simple answer is yes. And yet, as we know from the work of Amartya Sen from the early 80s to now, there are still challenges in terms of the relationship between food demand. And that means what people can access, even when there is enough food in terms of aggregate. And this has to do not just with incomes, but marginalization of people so their voices aren't heard. And so understanding production systems that can work locally so that local producers and consumers can be linked was an important part of our study. And so we were interested in understanding how farmers had found ways to improve farming methods, be that organic or using high value products, or thinking about new ways of production, such as no-till, all of which are emerging in different parts of India, and which we were able to discuss in the policy workshops with officials in different Indian states. But also how these local networks can be linked to global consumption demand, because there's an interesting twist in the tale. As India, like many other countries, moves to middle income status, it is clear that the growing middle class would like to consume healthier grains. Globally, we know about quinoa as a superfood. In India, it's a case of millets, which the next slide we'll talk about. But whether these will feed into improving and sustaining local production systems is still an extant question. So here's on to millets. I know my colleagues will smile because I call myself a millets messiah now, and I feed my family millets and they have to put up with it. But in all seriousness, millets as a sustainable basis for agriculture is quite powerful. Millets provide a number of possibilities for growth because they take less water per plant than the big grains, rice, wheat, and maize. And they can also grow at higher temperatures, and that is quite important. So in the case of semi-arid communities, which is what we are studying across India, areas that were not with all the benefits that were necessary for the Green Revolution, this set of crops, which is not a single family and have so many valuable features, is part of reopening local knowledge systems that were previously erased. And we found in these communities that there is a movement to processing, particularly in the case of Odisha, with the Odisha Millets Mission, a state-level enterprise to bring millets on board. These are very important subnational initiatives, but they need to be linked to the production system at the national level, and particularly the link, as I said, between the metropoles, the megacities, and local production systems. And so our intention in working with millets-based production in southern India and eastern India was to try and understand that while millets now take up this very valuable part, will they be also able to meet the challenges for communities that grow them? For example, in the case of millets, because they are small grain, they have very hard external coatings, and sometimes 7 external coatings to get to the kernel. And these have to be broken down and polished to be able to grind down to flour. And this activity is quite laborious, done with hand tools, and can demand many hours of women's time. So we are aware that while we can think about quick fire, short term returns, there need to be a lot more work in the supply chain to get the results. So this is moving away from the previous lack of appreciation, but also not going into another kind of negative loop, which is appropriating food practices. Working with communities is what our methodology has been built on. And so here I take you to 2 photographs. Colleagues will recognize these from ICRISAT. So on the left-hand side, we have the various millets varieties that are being grown by ICRISAT. And on the right-hand side, we have an attempt to break the production challenge by extruding or working with these grains and allowing them to break through and finding forms that are easier to consume, be they pasta or puffed versions, which do not have the challenges of breaking down to the flour. And of course, the flour has limited shelf life. And so this was the challenge at the beginning of our project, and ICRISAT and us, we were talking about this. And what it made us think about through the project is that this is part of a larger story. So on the left-hand side here, you have the millets in field. And on the right-hand side, you have some of the products that ICRISAT has produced. And in the middle, we have the stylized supply chain, which Padalusu and others talk about. And this provides for us quite a valuable way to think about the relationship between the science and the social science. On the left-hand side, you have the science, the genetic diversity, the cultivation, the harvest. In a way, that's what FB2 has been doing. And on the right-hand side, we have the value addition, the market, and the final use. And this is FB5 and FB6. But why specifically in FB6B? Because what we found, and if you look at the bottom, it's about the reliance in the value chain, the role of women that I identified in the previous slide. And thinking about the ability to overcome challenges means that we have to work through each part of this loop. So in the 5 and 6 loop, if you think about what we're doing, we're trying to understand if millets are the future, then how can we increase value in the community? And we do this not only through the production cycle, but also by asking what people consume. So 6.1, 6.2, 6.3 in the Padalusi et al. Paper are really helpful in terms of thinking about nutrition. So the outcomes work on the production side as well as on the consumption side. And this was extremely helpful in thinking through as ICRISAT and other partners, and Odisha Millets Mission as well, all started thinking about selling the millets produce in local and national markets. And at the top end, we see the arguments for the middle classes that millets are consumed, lower shelf life, as I said, and therefore commercial activity to forms of using extruded millets that will live for longer and be more convenient for the middle classes. But at the bottom end, we get the same story being sold in local markets with local forms of millets that can be consumed. And it's the linking between the local and the subnational markets that is important, and that we are discussing with state level actors and officials to think about how this can be scaled up and made sustainable. We also did this, and I'm going to move from the Project Tigris to the little sister Project Milneti. We thought about the challenges, and here there's a list from colleagues in Vikalp Sangam and other civil society organizations that we've engaged with. And it's very clear, the data that they bring from research elsewhere, that we all know that it's difficult, it's hard to crack the millet seed, to work with the millet seed. And we'd heard this from our colleagues in Ethiopia and Gambia who are working on the millets project there. And their concern was not so much the value chain of millets, but to use these to work on the nutrition side, in particular to think about the lack of nutrition for some vulnerable groups. So we tried to bring together these projects. The challenges of production, which you can see on the right-hand side, women pounding and using hand tools to grind the millets. And on the bottom, our colleagues from Ethiopia who are talking about using millets, particularly Ikrisat iron fortified millet, to try and improve the availability of iron and through that to reduce anemia in women and children. So one of the unexpected but very exciting aspects of Tigris FB6B was to link to a new project. And so I'm going to end with talking about the cross-project learning. What we were able to do was to recognize that both the production and the consumption chain in millets, or in any of the minor crops that have not been studied by the Green Revolution, is to try and understand why they are being used and to work with what is being used. So in the case of pearl millet, where the high iron introduction has made it possible to think about it as an anemia reduction product, what we find is that in Maharashtra, which was a site that we're working in, which anemia is high, as well as in Western Africa, in this case in Benin, which is close to the country that we're studying, which is Gambia, we found that biofortification of pearl millet is very important. And this fits in with nutritional knowledge of women. Women who are both, therefore, the growers, the more importantly, the millers of millet, and as well as the producers of food. So this is building into feedback loops within the community. And it really provides, the Vasconcelos et al. Piece really provides a way to think and visualize from what's happening in the plant, which has been grown in these communities, and the work that women do to process and to cook, which goes right back to my point about millets. And so at the end, I'd like to thank our communities, and our journey continues. And we have just received a major grant to work with communities in the UK and try to understand how communities understand food production consumption here in a context of climate change. And it's really what we've learned in Tigris and Milneti in the Global South, those ideas and those methodologies that we're going to put in place into this new project that works for 5 years. And so I'd like to thank our communities in these geographies, as well as look forward to working with communities in other geographies and to continue on this journey as we participate in the cross-pollination of ideas. Thank you very much.